From the very beginning, the Torah imbues certain numbers with great significance. The first chapter of Genesis carefully divides creation into 7 days. 7 then becomes the most significant number in nearly all Jewish time rituals. Not just Shabbat, but Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, as well as the 7th month, the 7th year, the 7 cycles of 7 years, all of which are then imprinted with the themes of that first cycle of 7, creation, rest, and rejuvenation. Then there are other numbers that recur at significant moments in the Torah's narrative. The 40 days and nights of the flood and the 40 days and nights Moshe spent on Mount Sinai. The 10 plagues and the 10 commandments. 70 members of Yaakov's household and 70 elders. An awareness of the Torah's numbers of distinction and their significance can help us decode the complex structure of the birth ritual that opens Parshat Tazria, and the mysterious set of numbers it contains. Daber el bnei Yisrael le'mor, speak to the children of Israel and say, Isha ki Tazria, when a woman conceives, Tazria, and gives birth to a male, she becomes impure for 7 days, Shivat Yamim, like during the days of her menstrual infirmity. Uvayom ha-shmini, and on the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. Ushloshim yom, ushloshet yamim, for 33 days she will remain in the blood of purification and will not touch any holy thing, nor come toward the sanctuary, until she completes her days of purity. If she gives birth to a female, she becomes impure for 2 weeks, shvuayim, like the days of her menstruation, v'shishim yom v'sheshet yamim, and for 66 days she will remain in the blood of purification. Now, the first number here is a familiar one. There's that 7 again, always representing a full cycle of creation and a moment of rest and reflection. That association is certainly apt for the birth of a child. Then comes the number 8 for the day of circumcision. This verse has the strange feeling of an insertion. Why is circumcision mentioned here when it already received a full treatment when Avram first received this commandment back in Genesis? And the circumcision ritual doesn't seem directly pertinent to the purity rituals being introduced here. The rest of the numbers are even more perplexing. 33 days is an odd unit of time. It's no multiple of 7. It doesn't appear to be a natural cycle. If it were meant to approximate a month, we would have expected it to be 30, or if anything, a little less. Then the next 2 numbers appear to be doubling 2 previous figures. 2 weeks for a female child when there were 7 days for a male child, and 66 days for a female child where there were 33 days for a male child. Do these numbers also have significance? And why would the numbers be different for boys and girls? A first clue comes when we begin to add up the numbers. This is not an unreasonable tactic, since the days themselves are sequential. While the 33-day period is hard to make sense of on its own, when we add it to the initial 7-day period, it comes to a total of 40 days. Now that we know as a well-established unit of time in the Torah. What does it signify? Well, the last 40-day period mentioned before this recorded Moshe's second stay on Mount Sinai after the revelation when he received the second set of tablets. Vayisham im Hashem, he was there with the Eternal, arbaim yom v'arbaim laila, for 40 days and 40 nights. Lechem lo achal u'mayim lo shata, he ate no bread and drank no water, and God wrote on the tablets et divrei habrit aseret hadvarim, the words of the covenant of the 10 commandments. Note that Moshe's gestative communion with God has resulted not just in another set of tablets with the 10 commandments on them, but the record of a covenant of the 10 commandments. And that word is given special emphasis here in order to make clear a covenant was formed at Mount Sinai. Indeed, we found the language of covenant also just after the revelation itself. With the people gathered around the mountain, Moshe offered sacrifices to God and then poured some of the blood from the sacrifices in a basin. Vayikach Moshe et Adam, Moshe took the blood and threw it on the people and said, Hine dam habrit, "Behold, the blood of the covenant that God has forged with you all on all these words." The covenant forged at Sinai was forged over the words of the commandments, but it was also forged in blood. Immediately after this, Moshe ascended the mountain, and we are told, "Vahi Moshe Bahar Arba'im Yom V'Arba'im Laila." Moshe was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. 40, then, comes to represent the covenant of Sinai. Meanwhile, the blood of the covenant here before Moshe's ascent will remind us of another covenant forged in blood, that of circumcision. "Zot briti, this is my covenant, that you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you, circumcise every male. And the foreskins of their flesh shall be circumcised, and that will be the sign of the covenant, ot habrit, between me and you, and throughout the generations, every male among you shall be circumcised at the age of 8 days." That language of covenant is so central to the circumcision ritual, the brit milah, that we tend to call it not a milah, a circumcision, but a brit, or a bris, a covenant. Having noticed the echo between Avraham's covenant of circumcision and Moshe's covenant at Sinai, we can now go back to analyze the structure of the male birth in Parshat Tazria, with its surprising inclusion of the law of circumcision on the 8th day. That means we have an initial 7-day period, which we have assumed represents a new creation, an 8th day that represents entry into the covenant of Avraham, the tribal covenant, and then a 40th day that represents entry into the covenant of Sinai, the covenant of Torah. Now, that is a deeply meaningful birth ritual structure for a boy. But what about a girl? She's not circumcised on the 8th day. Does that mean she does not enter the covenant of Avraham? Indeed, her birth is marked with a whole different set of numbers. Her mother's periods of purity and impurification are not 7 and 33 days, but 14 and 66, making a total of 80. Now, we've already noted that the numbers for a female child are doubled, so what we really have, it seems, is 2 7s and 2 40s. One of each of those can presumably be interpreted in the same way. The 7 represents a new creation for a girl or a boy, and the 40 represents an entry into the covenant of Sinai for a girl or a boy. But how do we understand the other 7 and the other 40 that the ritual for the birth of a female child carries? Well, let's begin with the 40. If 140 represents the covenant of Sinai, what might the other represent? Now, as we noted earlier, the Torah's other significant period of 40 days is the length of the rains of the flood in the Noah story, 40 days and 40 nights. When we go back to the Noah story, we find that there, too, a new covenant was given. "V'hakimoti et briti etchem, I will establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." The word brit, covenant, appears 7 times in this chapter. There is even, as with circumcision, a sign of the covenant, the rainbow. When that sign is displayed, God says, "V'zacharti et briti, I will remember my covenant, asher b'ini uv'enechem uv'en kol nefesh chaya, between me and you and every living creature among all flesh, so that the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh." The flood was a destruction of creation and of nearly all life on earth. So this new covenant represents a restart to creation and a pledge to preserve life. Indeed, this is essentially a covenant of creation, made not with Noah in particular, but with every living creature. If anyone represents this covenant, it would be Chava, because she is the Em Kol Chai, the mother of all that lives. And note that she is given this name just a few verses after we learn that she will have the ability to conceive and bear children. If we return again to the birth rituals in Parshat Tazria, it seems reasonable to presume that while the first set of 7 and 40 for the birth of a female child parallels the symbolism of those numbers for a male child, the entry of a new creation into the covenant of Sinai. The second set represents a recreation and evokes God's commitment to humanity to restart and preserve life. The birth of a female especially represents the continuity of life, since just as this mother has given life, so the female that has just been born also carries within her the potential to give life again. That is the second seven. The second 40, then, represents her entry into the very first covenant God made with humanity, the covenant of creation. Now, does that mean that the female child is not brought into the covenant of Abraham? This is a question that we might have asked from the moment circumcision was introduced and assigned only to Kol Zachor, every male. In fact, the difference in numbers in the birth rituals of Parshat Tazria suggests that a female child enters not into the exact same covenant as a male, but into one that is directly parallel. Here, our best clue comes not from key numbers, but key words. One word in particular is used seven times during the original giving of circumcision to Abraham. Zera, offspring, or literally, seed, as in, V'hakimoti et briti beini uveinecha uvein zaracha acharecha. I will maintain my covenant between me and you and your seed to come, as an everlasting covenant throughout the ages, to be God to you and to your seed to come. Liot lecha l'elokim ulezaracha acharecha. The word seed appears seven times in this chapter. That makes some sense, not only because it refers to offspring, but also because it describes a ritual that affects the very organ from which the seed of life emerges. Now perhaps we will remember the key word that gave our parsha its name, Tazria. This word is based on the same root as zera, seed, but it's a verb. We translated it above as conceives, but literally it means something more like germinates. In fact, in the entire Tanakh, this verb is only ever used in one other context. In the very first chapter, in the creation story, on the third day, we read, Vayomer Elokim, Tadsheh Haaretz Deshe, Esev Mazria Zera. God said, let the earth sprout forth grass and vegetation that germinates seed, Mazria Zera. Fruit trees of every species on earth that bear the fruit of its species with its seed in it. And it was so. The earth sprouted forth grass and vegetation that germinates seed, Mazria Zera, of every species, and fruit trees of every species that had their seed in them. And God saw that this was good. When a woman acts as a Tazria, she is performing an act of creation that only God before her has been able to call forth from the earth. The covenant of Abraham provides the seed that is one half of the equation that gives life to his offspring. Its complement is the covenant of creation, the ability to germinate seed, and so to recreate life, as God once did. All of this provides a symbolic overlay to the two birth rituals described in Parshat Tazria. There is, however, potentially one practical implication that may be suggested by this analysis. Modern Jews often struggle with the question of what kind of birth celebration ritual to have for a girl, in light of all the fanfare that accompanies a Brit Milah. Should it be on the eighth day, or can it be done any time? Should it look just like a Brit Milah, but without the Milah? The structure of the rituals in Parshat Tazria suggests that a girl's brit might be held on the 40th day, and that it could celebrate the relationship between the covenant of Sinai and the creative force that continues to bring forth life into the world.